Well, tonight, welcome everyone and honored guests. Welcome to Wednesday night. My name is Dave Hamill, for those of you who don't know me. And tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about intention. I'd like to share a couple of new items from science and give some examples about why it is important that we believe that one person can affect this world. So it's interesting. I keep getting from different books fall into my lap just at the right time. I walk upstairs into our library, and there, right on the ledge, is a book that I go, oh, and I take it home, and it has a big impact on me. So something is working through. Something is, there's another intent that comes through each and every one of us when we're open to it. The first time that I heard spiritual beings having a human experience and not a human being having a spiritual experience, it really had an effect on me. And I've heard it a number of times since then, and it has less of an effect and less of an effect, and I'm not sure what it really even means anymore. And I'm going to talk about a couple of experiments that have come forth in science recently that helped me really get a better handle on this idea about spirituality and the spiritual experience. So the scientific community has been able to take a single photon, and a photon is a particle of light. And they've been able to fire it at a TV screen, and then go back and look at it later, and there'll be a splash, sort of like a rock being dropped in a pond, where that photon hits the screen. And then they take that same screen and they put a shield in front of it that has two slits in it. And they fire that same photon at the screen, kind of thinking, well, which slit is it going to go through? Well, the amazing thing is that it goes through both screens. Because what they found that as we watch these experiments, the very evidence or the very fact that this is being observed causes a light particle to change from a particle to a wave. Just because we watched it. So there's something going on between us and this photon of light. We have no clue or no idea what it is, but our humanity in this observation is making this change in the physical world. They've also taken photons and put them in a vacuum chamber. And the photons are in a certain arrangement in there. And when they take human DNA and put it into the vacuum chamber, the photons completely rearrange themselves just from the presence of our DNA. Now, what in the world is going on? How can our DNA have an effect on something that has no intelligence as far as we can see, no way of communicating? What in the world's going on? There's also an experiment that was done where they would take a subject, and I think they showed this person movies or something that were either very disturbing or exciting or whatever, but to get a stimulus, a reaction from that person, and they could measure it down on the cellular level. So they took this subject and took some of his cells, put them in a petri dish, kept them alive, and took them 350 miles away. And at each site where he was and where his cells were, they had atomic clocks. And those of you that don't know about atomic clocks, they are ultra precise, and they're used in all these experiments that involve time. And so they then played the movie again for the subject, and when he reacted, the cells 350 miles away reacted as well, instantaneously, faster than light can travel, reacted. Einstein said light was the end, that's as fast as we can go. Yet somehow we communicate with those cells in our body faster than that. So what are we into here? Or maybe we should just quit funding the scientists so they keep coming up with wacky stuff like this that we can't explain. I don't know. So the other thing that has fascinated me is I came across an article and they found in each of our cells in our body we have what are called microtubules. And they're made out of carbon and they're these look like just little tubes. And they found that they can flex open or closed. But they can flex open and closed in nanoseconds. Now, I had to look up what a nanosecond was so I could be sure, but there are a billion nanoseconds in 1 second. Now, something in our body can open and close that fast. What's the purpose? Well, they think that it's like computer code. We have binary code, you know, 0 and 1 in computers, and the arrangement 0011110 is how we communicate with computers. And so the theory is that open-closed is the human way of computer language. And if our brains, because of the other thing they found that's interesting, is that microtubules are in all our cells, but they are most densely packed into our frontal lobes. Just more than higher concentrations than anywhere else in our body. So is this some kind of computer way or processing at such huge speeds that we are now accessing some universal net that's out there? Who knows? But it just fascinates me to look at these things, because we take for granted this spiritual being in a human body program. I do. And there are times when I just think, you know, I'll get, something will come over me, or I'll come here to church and I'm just feeling great and I'm really getting in the flow. And then it's like I put on this jacket or something that's got, okay, it's spiritual time and everything's wonderful. And then as I walk out, I take my jacket off and hopefully I hang it up. But I'm walking out and I'm back to being me again. And this is just life, and this is the way things show up. So what's up with that? Well, why can't I be in that, my default setting, be in the spiritual God part, in the heart of me? And I'm going to talk a little bit about how we all affect each other as well. So I bring this up because there are so many unknown properties that we have in our body. Science can't explain them. But as science gets deeper and deeper, quantum mechanics starts looking more and more Zen-like. And it starts, and I wish Millie were here, because she's got this wish that science would be able to prove spirituality. All the people that have been here know how she really wants that to happen, and I think it's really coming that way now. We're starting to see that these things that are showing up, we're not able to explain them except in ways that have to do with spiritual connection. When, years ago when I was first came out to California, Carlos Castaneda made a big splash with his teachings of Don Juan. And of course, the only reason I was interested in that time is because they were doing peyote and mescaline and stuff like that. And that was the kind of stuff I was interested in back then. But he's come out, he has more books, and of course I didn't read them because I didn't have anything to do with that stuff. But he is for those who don't know about him, there's a Yaqui Indian tribe. Correct? That's how it said. Mm-hmm. And they have a tradition, an oral tradition of healers and sorcerers. And what's interesting, when he talks about sorcerers, he's talking about, he calls it being in source. Mm-hmm. Being connected to our source. That's what a sorcerer does, is contacts our source energy to bring that into the world. So a quote from Carlos: "In the universe, there is an immeasurable, indescribable force which shamans call intent. And absolutely everything that exists in the entire cosmos is attached to intent by a connecting link. Intent is a force that exists in the universe. When sorcerers accomplish what that means is that sorcerers always accomplish what they set out to do." So pause for a moment and chew on that thought. What if intent is a force of nature? What if I, instead of me saying, oh, I intend to do this tomorrow, or I intend to do that, what if by saying that I'm going to intend to do something, that actually causes a shift in the physical universe and brings a force to me that brings power to me to be able to change and do something? How different does life become when we look at our lives that way, that we can access this force? 20 centuries ago, Patanjali said, "Dormant forces, faculties, and talents come alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be." And when I read that, I realized I quit dreaming about who I am and what it is I wish to be. I'm back in, taking my jacket off, and walking along my earthly walk here, thinking that this is all it is, this is the way life works. But what if it isn't? What if it's magical on a level that we can't even access yet? But there are all these things out there, and why am I sitting here going back to the daily stuff rather than living in magic? I keep asking myself that. Could Patanjali be talking about a powerful energy we call forth when we are inspired? And what does inspired mean? In spirit. Each of us has been inspired in our lives. We felt energized and powerful. Where did these forces come from and what are they? Who has access? Who is denied? And what takes over your life when you're inspired? You all know how it feels. It's completely different. Wayne Dyer says, I know that intention is a force that we all have within us. Intention is a field of energy that flows invisibly beyond the reach of our normal, everyday, habitual patterns. It is there before our actual conception. We have the means to attract this energy to us and experience life in an exciting new way. So if I see intent as a force, then it changes my what I think about it and how I might use it. And can I use that to become much more powerful? Then if I do that and I start seeing my life through the lens of the force of intent, then my life changes. Because now I have more power, something else to bring to my daily living, my daily experience. So if we look at intent as a force, where is that force? Where is the field of intent? Where do we find it? Well, it's everywhere. There's no place that it's not. Because intent, if we look at the spiritual force in our universe as intent, that great grand power that we all know is greater than all of us and is part of all of us, and see it as intent, it has intent for each one of us. If we take a seed and cut it open, we don't see the full-grown plant inside of it, but the intent is there for that to grow into an apple or a pumpkin or whatever. And a pumpkin never does grow into an apple and gets mistaken because its intent is it's going to be an apple or pumpkin. And just like us when we came here, we had this intent to be who we are. We didn't grow into somebody we're not because intent is always there and intent is always present. One of the things that's interesting to me in quantum physics is that if you go from the moment of conception with the egg and the sperm and go backwards, what do we find? Well, we encounter molecules, and then we encounter atoms, electrons, and then subatomic particles. And you've probably been reading about some of the big colliders that they have over in Europe now that's been spun up, and they're taking these subatomic particles and speeding them up to almost the speed of light and then colliding them to see what they get. So what I think the interesting part is that when you collide subatomic particles, you don't get more particles. You get forces out of it, but there's no more particles. So at the base of everything, there's no particle. At the base of life, there's no particle. There's force. There's intent. But it's invisible, and it's very difficult for us to measure. But that's what's there. That's what is our spirit. When you get down to below to that level, all there is endless spirit. You can't see it, but you know it's there because it's in each and every one of us. So as we get more and more science coming up, coming forward, it raises a lot of questions, but I think it's really doing what Millie has asked to help show that spirituality is at the core of everything that we're doing. And in this vibration, this formless field of spiritual energy that is our source, I talked earlier about Salvador and his beautiful vibrations that he sends forth. Well, this is a vibrational world. And when we get to this point where we are having intention about how we grow, how we're gonna age, and how we activate this physical form, there's only one way to deactivate intention, and that is for us to do it to ourselves, to believe that it's not possible, that we're separate from it. Wayne Dyer, again, I'm going to quote him. He says, these are the ways that we detach ourselves from spirit and from our intent, by believing I am what I have, that my possessions define me, that I am what I do, that my achievements define me, that I am what others think of me, that my reputation defines me, that I am separate from everyone else, that my body defines me as alone. I am separate from all that is missing in my life. My life space is disconnected from desires. And I am separate from God, that my life depends on God's assessment of my worthiness. And we all do this to ourselves, and we all detach ourselves from this universal spirit and this universal energy that is everywhere. So as we do bring ourselves into the world and our vibration, how important is it how you're feeling? Are you in a great mood today? Are you feeling that inspiration? Or are you just kind of going along? Because it really does. We're all in this boat together. We're all vibrating together in this universe, and we all know, we all pick up from each other what's going on. And if you've ever watched a child knows exactly what's going on. We know from the moment we come into this world, as a baby, you want to be fed, or you got to go to the bathroom, and you're crying if you don't get what you want. And you pick up on mom and dad, and mom and dad could be upset and have an argument, and the next thing you know, the baby's crying, because the baby picks up on this energy that's going around. So there is a gentleman named David Hawkins, who's a medical doctor, who's done a lot of applied kinesiology, which is muscle testing. Some of you have probably heard about it. He's done 30 years of work in this, and he has refined it to such an art form that he talks about the level of people and how we vibrate. And for many years, the world vibrated at a level at 200 in his logarithmic scale, is where we make the crossover from negative to positive. And he said for years, the human race has been vibrating below 200. And he had thoughts and concerns about us really making it as a species. And about the time that the Berlin Wall fell, for those of you who remember that, there was a huge surge forward and humanity passed the 200 level. So I want to read real quickly the levels and what the emotions are. So at the lower levels, we're talking about anger, fear, grief, apathy, guilt, hatred, judgment, and shame. And he, through his work, he believes that 87% of the world operates at this level, and that people can be sort of brainwashed or told what to do, and they'll do it, and that they... this is where we get all the tribal warfare. You look different from me, so there's something, you know, we're not together. Our skin color is different. Our eyes are different. We speak a different language. You live on the wrong side of the river, and it creates all this class warfare that goes on. So those people who are 87% of our population, and that negativity is out there in the world. And he also says that as we go higher and higher, we can offset the negativity of these other people. He says, in our interconnected universe, every improvement we make in our private world improves the world at large for everyone. And in his book, Power Versus Force, which happens to be upstairs in our library, low-level people cannot distinguish truth from falsehood. On the other hand, the highest levels are represented by the truly great ones who are associated with divinity and set in motion attractor fields that influence all of mankind. So just below the energy level of pure enlightenment, we have transcendent self-realization or God consciousness. Then down from that, pure joy exemplified the state of compassion, which is used for the benefit of life itself rather than for individuals. Few attain these levels in a permanent way. And below them are levels of unconditional love, kindness, acceptance of everyone, and beauty appreciation. And below them are the anger, fear, grief, and so on. So what Dr. Hawkins did is to see what one person's effect was in the world. And one person vibrating to the energy of optimism and a willingness to be non-judgmental of others will counterbalance the negativity of 90,000 individuals who are vibrating at a negative level. One vibrating the level of pure love and reverence for all life offsets 750,000 people who are negative. One vibrating at the energy of illumination, bliss, and infinite peace offsets the negativity of 10 million people. And he calculates there are 22 of those sages in the world today. One vibrating at the energy of peace, pure spirit beyond the body, in the land of non-duality and complete oneness, offsets the negativity of 70 million people vibrating in the negative phase. And there are approximately 10 of those in our world today. And one single avatar living at the highest level of consciousness in this period of history, to whom the title Lord is appropriate, such as Lord Krishna, Lord Buddha, and Lord Jesus Christ, would counterbalance the collective negativity of all mankind in today's world. And he believes that if the counterbalancing effect of positive energy were taken away, that the humanity would self-destruct. There would be no checks or balances keeping all that negativity from just running crazy. So it's another way of looking at it and saying we are all one. And what each one of us thinks and what we send out matters a whole lot. That one person, one of us just being optimistic, offsets 90,000 people. That's quite an impact. So tonight I hope that I've given you something to think about and look at things a little bit differently. I certainly don't have the answers, but I love having these things come up that I just can't get my head around. It just fascinates me because we learn more and more and find out we know less and less. So if we, these experiments, I don't know what they point to, but I think that for me, seeing intent as a force to be called upon to work in my life is a worthy exploration, something to really take and look and see, is intent a force? Is this energy that we came from have intention? I just keep thinking about the earth and how it came to be. And it just seems like I know we have evolution. I believe all that stuff. I know the dinosaurs were here. But it's just like so many tiny little pieces of the puzzle had to be fit together, that there has to be intelligence involved somewhere for me. And that intelligence had to have, to me, some intent for this all to be here and for all of us to be here. So I understand that when we change the way that we look at our lives, the experience of our life changes. And I'm going to continue to look. Thank you for this time.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Salvador.